Welcome back to the Motivated Endeavors podcast. Today, we're jumping back into the deep end on a topic that I first tackled last October with our friend Scott, who is a visionary in the field of nootropics. We're talking about a radical approach to healing today, psychedelic therapy. Now, I want to paint a picture. Imagine a world where we have a pill for everything, a pill to go to sleep, a pill to wake up, a pill to ease and numb our anxieties and sadness. That is the world we live in now, thanks to Big Pharma. Yet, despite a plethora of pills, we see skyrocketing rates of depression, opiate overdoses, anxiety, and we've lost friends, family, and loved ones, and they've been swallowed up by this silent epidemic. Just this last January, a dear childhood friend of mine fell victim to fentanyl overdose. And his passing was a tragic reminder of just how desperately we need to find another way. Could that other way be psychedelic therapy? Or substances like ayahuasca, which have once been dismissed as hippie drugs, the alternate route that we've been searching for? Can they help us navigate the intricate labyrinth of our minds, unearth the deep-seated traumas, anxieties, and begin the true process of healing? Scott has been pushing the boundaries of what we know about mental health through his work in herbal-based nootropics. And today he's here to help us explore these questions, break down the preconceptions, and shine a light on the potential of psychedelic therapy. So buckle up, and as we dive into yet another controversial but promising territory, challenging the status quo and exploring the vast potential of our minds, welcome to the Motivated Endeavors podcast.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, James. And there's a part of me that just can't believe that we're talking about this topic like this, so openly, because for many decades, those of us who were profoundly, deeply changed and altered in positive ways through psychedelic medicine, we just figured it would be this thing that we just kept secret to ourselves. And, people that would bump against it would just have to find it on their own. And I will say, because this is going out to such a large audience, my interest and love and passion about teaching people about psychedelic therapy and or what we call psychedelic medicine is not based on, any academic training. It really just comes from my own exposure and experimentation with them. I was actually 20 years old when I was fortunate enough to meet someone who was involved in the early pioneering exploration of psychedelic plants and who followed this system that was actually outlined in a book. And I think we mentioned it in the last podcast that we did. It's a book called Psychedelic Experience. And it's actually better known by its subtitle called A Manual Based on the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And it was co-authored by this Harvard PhD psychologist named Ralph Metzner. And in this book, which I think was written in the mid-1960s, the basic premise of the book was that you could experience the death of your ego, the removal of your perceptions of what you thought was you, what you thought was a reality, through the use of this powerful plant, this mushroom called psilocybin, which most people in the world have probably heard of by now. Back then, it wasn't really a well-known substance. And they also said you could also use the compound that is similar to psilocybin known as LSD. And the book taught you this systematically to go through this process using just a setting up your surroundings, being with a couple of people that were either also watching you or also in the experience, and setting up a very peaceful conducive space for such an environment. You had to use the mirror, you had to use a couple of candles. And the whole value that they said in this book of doing something like this, well, why, what is death of the ego? What is ego? Why would anyone want to do that? And it doesn't make any sense. But what they outlined, and this was told by this friend that I met, and I was fascinated by this story. And he said, you know, it allows you to dissolve the prejudice, the fears, the traumas, you know, the grandparents, the parents' ancestral story and wounds that every human being carries, whether they're conscious of it or not. And that's what the whole purpose of this plant was. That's why it was put on Earth. This is the basic premise of the book. And the only thing that would prevent anyone from being able to go through that journey would be your own false fears, what another author by the name of Aldous Huxley called the doors of perception. And remember, I'm just 20 years old kid, and I'm hearing of this from this guy that was the wisest person I ever met at the time. His name is Carl. He's still one of my best friends. He was 10 years older than me. And we were, in fact, we're both working at this nighttime ski area outside of Denver. And so after all the Denver people would come in and we'd fit them up, we'd have a few hours. And that's where I discovered that this is one of the things that Carl had done in his life. And I became absolutely fascinated. And I peppered him with every question you could imagine, like, how did you set it up? Where did you get the mushrooms? What did you do when you did come across your own doors of perception? How frightening was it? What did you do with the face to fears? What were the things you had to do? And that just became every night as we would work and fit these gears in there. I would just look forward to these conversations that I would have. So the whole winter that we worked there, I would ask him different details about his life, about his experience and all of that. And I was so lit up by that idea. And I just remember thinking, and I don't know why, you know, because other people, you could have been in that room. Other people could have been in that room and thought, that's kind of a weird thing. That's too, you know, I'm going to go and drink beer now. But there was something about it that really captured my attention. This idea, like, I want to be that brave. I want to explore and evolve my brain and my consciousness. And I want to know what it's like. I would love to dissolve that. I would love to let go of anything that was false. So that was my experience. And it took me a couple of years actually before I was like ready to do it. And then when I was 27 years old, I had just come back from a 3-year hitchhiking trip around the world. And I was really in this space where I go, I need to know where I want to go and what my position in the universe is. And so I pulled out those notes that I'd taken from Carl and I, you know, followed the steps in that book and basically did a series of very set and setting, maybe 5 or 6 of these psychedelic medicine-based journeys. And I think at 27, I was ready because I was fearless. And I, oh boy, did I, you know, when you come up to that door perception, you are scared. Every fiber, at least in my experience, was just, I can't do this. I'm going to die. I can't do this because I'm afraid of the boogeyman behind this. But the book and what he taught me and his imagery of just saying, you keep breathing. That's basically what the book says, is you use your breath to go through it. And it becomes like this movie that's going through you. So instead of being attached to the imagery or the emotion or the overwhelm of seeing your entire ancestral plane going back all the way 1,000, you see the faces. And instead of being frightened or overwhelmed by that, you just keep breathing and it becomes like this movie that is washing through you. And the outcome of it, especially doing this series, very planned, very focused, very intentional journeys, was absolutely cellularly transformative for me. And again, I just always thought, well, that's my experience. I'm not going to really be able to tell anyone about it. So the fact that we're able to converse this stuff now is just amazing. So by the way, years later, I was able to, with the internet, I was able to locate Ralph Metzler. He was now in his 80s. He was living in Marin County. And I told him my experience and I flew out to, he was still doing journeys. Talk about underground too. You know, he couldn't tell anything. He couldn't publish this, but he kept going week after week of realizing this is my way of transforming humanity. So I flew out to do one of his ayahuasca journeys. And then I hosted him in my home in outside of Boulder, Colorado. And we would have these weekend workshops. I think I did 3 or 4 of them where, you know, I'd advertise kind of underground and maybe 15, 18 people would be able to fit in my space, in my house. And he would take us through these journeys with different psychotropic plants. And I mean, some of the people that showed up were amazing. I remember one of them, there was this famous artist by the name of Robert Venosa. If you ever remember the magazine called Omni Magazine, he was the guy who did all those covers, psychedelic artwork. And his wife was equally well. In fact, anyone listener, Robert died a few years later of cancer, but his wife, Martina Hoffman, is an equal, extraordinary artist. So these would be the people that would show up for these events from Ralph Metzler that I was. Martina Hoffman is okay. Her name. And then Ralph Metzner was the author, co-author of that book. And I would have him out there, you know, being basically the host for these journeys, you know, being the guide for these different journeys. So, you know, one of the things that I think in these modern time, James, that people ask, you know, well, why would I want to do that? I don't really see where it would come into play. And this is really where it's interesting because what's driving the okayness of bringing this forward is really the academic circles, which is great. And they're now seeing, you know, that these substances, you know, psilocybin, LSD, MDMA, ayahuasca, as you mentioned, there's a couple others, DMT, ibogaine, which is very, very powerful for those who are dealing with strong, strong opioid addictions. That's kind of like the magic 5 or 6 plants or compounds from those plants that have been found to be the most effective. And the things that are really driving them forward are the more academic, socially accepted results, such as dealing with anxiety, addiction, PTSD, depression. And I think those are great. That's the door in. But to me, where the real hidden gem of the results that drive me to now come out of the closet with this and share my own experience, and it's because it's the most overlooked benefit, is that when people go through these kinds of journeys, you start to recognize what I would call the rhetorical communication patterns that are used by narcissists or malignant narcissists. And there's 10% of the world's population, and most of the big mouths out there have that quality to them. And after you go through these journeys, you become immune to cult thinking, whether it's political cults or spiritual cults or relationship cults. You just see through the bullshit and the manipulation. It becomes as clear as a color on the wall, as clear as a bird singing in the woods. And that, to me, is the main reason I believe that psychedelic medicine at this point in human development is the most important tool that we can be exposing to humanity.
And Scott, you hit it right on the head. You know, it lets you see through the bullshit. And, you know, is that why it's illegal? You know, like, does it stop people from, you know, like, is this why our governments don't want us eating mushrooms, but we can go down to the liquor store and get a fifth of Jack on the way home and drive through the drive-thru?
Yeah, and dull yeah. your mind instead yeah. of awaken it. Yeah, yeah. Well, alcohol. I'm not a big conspiracy guy, only because it's such a dead end. I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah, it's
okay.
I'd rather say, look at this. Where do you want to go in your life? Do you want to be numbed, or do you want to be in a state of awe? Do you want to experience in your lifetime, while you're alive, the most powerful sense of awe you've ever experienced up to this point?
So that leads to my next question. Who, in your opinion, would be the ideal candidate for a psychedelic therapeutic? And are there certain life stages that it may be more beneficial?
I mean, I think almost anyone would benefit from it. It really just depends on what your goals are. I mean, that would be the question I would ask. The answer to that question is, what are you here for and what are you trying to do?
Yeah. Yeah. And so how might the purpose of psychedelic therapy vary depending on someone's age, for example, just to kind of further go down that question?
Ask that again.
So how might a different life situation, a different life stage, how might that purpose of psychedelic therapy vary? So we have someone that is, you know, maybe in their 20s, and maybe someone that's in their late 60s. Would those purposes yeah. be maybe a little bit different? Or
for sure. And the cool thing is that and once you get into groups that are experienced with it, they will tell you that, you know, it's like John Lennon said, you know, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. You know, and it's the same thing with psychedelics. It's that you can come in there with an intention, and it's not a bad idea. I was always very strong on my intentions of why I didn't just go, hey, let's see what's going on. You've got to be ready. You have to be ready, because what you're going to see and experience is going to sober you up. And so you have to be ready for that experience as best you can. The cool thing is, none of us are ready. How deep it goes. It's a little bit like being ready for a, you know, roller coaster ride. Ah, yeah, it's easy. And then you go on the roller coaster ride and you will experience, you know, abject fear. But the cool thing about the plants is that there is this sense that they will show you what you need to next know. So it's a little bit, it doesn't really matter what level you're at. If you're driven to have that wider experience of your life and your meaning and your place in it, and you have this sense that you want to be more awake and more aware and less manipulated by your own mind or by others, by your own, you know, your own, yeah. you know, ego, the plants will show you what you need to learn.
Kind of exposes that cognitive bias that we all have without even realizing it.
Yeah. That's it. And that will be different for every stage of your life. And a lot of times it's quite surprising what you come out with. You think it's going to be this, and then you go in and you have something else is shown to you.
Have you seen RFK talk about psychedelic therapy needs to be mainstream, where we can heal our families and heal our communities?
I haven't heard of him, but I think I heard vaguely that he has probably experienced that, and I'm glad that he's a vocal promoter. I don't know about his politics or his stances, but I'm glad anyone who's saying, hey, more of us need to become aware of this. You bet. I mean, the other common theme that is laughed amongst people who have experienced this is they was, you know, the answer to most of the political issues is they got to get all those people in a room with someone like Ralph Metzner and take them through the experience, and nothing will be the same afterward. They can't come out and be the same level of damaged goods that they currently are.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it just imagine what it would be like if our leaders had to go through a journey or something like that as they entered office? You think we'd still have wars and everything around the world?
But, amazing what it would do.
Just shifting gears just slightly, can you summarize maybe how the field of psychedelic therapy is evolving and maybe where you see it going from your perspective of the cutting edge of Oregon and where you see it going maybe over the next decade? Because in Arkansas, we're behind.
I don't know. I'm just really, really glad that there is now a legal path forward, because I know most people would only be interested in something like this is if their, you know, medical health provider gave it the A-OK, you know, or if their priest or minister or someone said, this is what you need, because that's oftentimes the level of authority that people need in order to be okay with something. So that I am such a strong proponent of. I'm so grateful. Never in a million years did I think this would occur in my lifetime. By the way, for those who want to see the cutting edge of that legitimate angle towards legitimacy, is there's an organization out of Colorado called MAPS. Yeah. MAPS, look it up. I think it might be maps.org. I've been financially supporting them for years. Their basis is probably the most sound logically, because they approach it from a very scientific angle. Mm-hmm. I'm a little nervous about it being so science oriented you have to go to a therapist to experience what Carl experienced, what I experienced, what Ralph Metzner experienced, but fine. Go that route, pay the money, you know, go only allow therapists to, you know, train therapists. It's a shame. And what the heck, it's moving it forward. So great. Let's do that. Let's do that route. As long as people at some point recognize, wait a minute, I can control this myself. I can have two or three. I understand the process. I understand the power. I don't fuck around on them. You know, people who take psychedelics and what, screw around them, and it's just you missed it. You so missed what its purpose is. So once you learn the basic, the kind of the sacredness of them and the setting and what they're really there to do, you can have a really powerful and good time. It's not that it's all heavy and dark, the lightness comes from you doing the work that they're meant to do. So I hope at some point enough people will go, you know, we're going to be able to do this on our own now. Thank you very much.
Scott, is there any final advice that you would give to somebody that's considering such a modality of therapy?
Yeah, do it. Do it. Especially those dealing with deep trauma. Whatever kind of trauma it is, or any kind of unease, or any kind of sense like I don't belong, or any kind of feeling like depression or anxiety, or I'm never going to be healed, that kind of sense. This will affect me till the day I die. Bullshit is what I would say. You need powerful medicine that was given to us by the cosmos, because that is another common theme. When you experience that, you get this cellular realization that this is not a mistake. This isn't just some vitamin C. This isn't just some getting high. This has a laser-like reason why we're here. It's why so many of the ancient cultures figured out, and from their own, wherever they were on the planet, they found the plant that gave them these insights. And that's what you will do too. So search it out, call up, find a therapist, or travel to another state if you have to, but get into a place where you can experience a heroic dose of one of these 5 or 6 powerful plants or their extractions of those, and see what we're talking about.
When you're talking about a heroic dose, that's what on, let's say, psilocybin. How much is that of dried mushroom? Is that more than 20 grams? Isn't it?
No. Okay. I think heroic doses with psilocybin is somewhere in the vicinity of 3 or 4 grams. I forget.
Gotcha.
But I think, like 3 or 4 grams, and it's
gotcha.
It's not expensive at all. But, no. It would really, don't do this on your own.
Of course.
Don't just do this haphazardly.
Of course.
Find a group. Look around. And
there are people. There are practitioners with degrees and doctorates. And there are places being set up even in Oregon. You fly out to Oregon, and they're doing this in clinics now.
That's right. And no matter where you live, there is a group. There is somebody out there. There are people in the know and who can point you to people who do these group settings, where you are allowed to have these experiences in extraordinarily safe environments. They are deeply knowledgeable about this, and they create a safe, completely void of any structure other than the basic set of, this is safe, keep breathing, we're gonna keep you hydrated, and they don't lay any trip on you, and it's just this environment where everyone can have these experiences. And doing it in a group can be, I've done it in a group and I've done it solo, and I do really enjoy the group setting because you have that extra sense of safety.
Scott, thank you so much for joining me. We'll have to have you back on. This was extremely value-packed. I'm going to package all this up. There's going to be a full blog post. People can check out everything you've said. It's all formatted real nicely. It's all going to be outlined. So if you want to go read this content from Scott, it's going to be on my website. Scott, thank you so much again.
You're very welcome, James. It's an honor.